Hare Krishna. So, I have a question from a Lashkai Tomash. And he says, is the desire for power born of false ego or fear? False ego. Power or the desire to lord it over comes from thinking that we're anything else other than Krishna's servant. And being anything else other than Krishna's servant is false ego. Whether we're trying to lord it over our bodies, our families, our countries, a universe, that type of being power hungry is always a product of false ego. And his other question is, in this material world, are we trying to learn something new, or are we trying to get back something that we've forgotten or something that's covered? Yes, there is nothing new that we're trying to get. Krishna consciousness means that we're trying to remember that we're servants of Krishna, revive our attitude of service, and cover the love that's in everyone's heart, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, which tells us to want to spontaneously serve Krishna. We've forgotten that we're Krishna's servants, and our love for Krishna has been covered and transformed into lust. And when we again fully reawaken our love for the Lord, at that time, and only at that time, will we really be acting in the capacity of a servant, fully acting in the capacity of a servant, and free of our propensity to lord it over. Why? Because there'll be no longer any trace of false ego. We'll be properly situated in our original identity. Now, Ben Sazoltan, he gives a link over here that I can't go on to because internet is very bad. And so the question that he's asking, which is in regards to education of children, according to this link, we'll have to put off to another time. And Chana Mirjam, in short, because it's a lengthy question, he's asking, what is the Krishna conscious view of having children in any other way other than by natural means? In other words, when it doesn't work by the standard biological method to conceive children, therefore some type of artificial means is employed. Yes, in Krishna conscious culture, we see in Mahabharata and Bhagavatam, Ramayana, many examples where sometimes some kings often don't have children, and so some sage comes and offers them some kind of magic potion from a sacrifice, drinking which then the wife is able to conceive. So these are examples where something doesn't naturally work, but by some other help it does. However, we should see that this is a very sattvic approach, the remnants of a sacrifice being offered. And so devotees generally prefer to select such very sattvic methods rather than doing more tamasic methods. But obviously, such potions and Brahmins aren't easy to find nowadays. So it's a decision that devotees have to make themselves. But the principle is that, yes, such things are done. Another aspect that one may want to consider at this point is whether it's not wiser to adopt children. Since natural conception doesn't work, then why not, instead of some artificial means, adopt a child? There are so many children in the world who don't have a loving family, who don't have comfortable living conditions. And what to speak of, we're never going to get a chance at Krishna consciousness. So why not give them a chance? That's also an alternative, and that also is there in Vedic culture, where sometimes people can't have their own children, and then they accept children from another family. And the last question comes from Sándor István and Arundhati, where he's talking about celebrating quote-unquote karmi holidays or festivals like Christmas, birthday, and so on. And we Krishnize these things since we're attached to them. The answer is that in Krishna consciousness, we're really a festival-oriented spiritual cluster. We have so many festivals. Practically speaking, every day it's either the appearance of a Lord's incarnation, appearance of a devotee, disappearance of a devotee, a pastime. If we're looking to strengthen our own Krishna consciousness and we're looking to celebrate something within our own culture, it can be done every day. So the nice suggestions that he make is that some Grihastha families go over to another, take them some gifts, and they respect prasadam together, and they chant Hare Krishna or watch some Krishna conscious film, whatever that may be. All of these things can be done in our own Krishna conscious festival culture. Why? Because those are the days most worthy and relevant of celebration to our lineage. They help us most to become Krishna conscious, whereas the mood or the bhav of the other festivals doesn't necessarily harmonize with our own spiritual tradition. And we can just ask ourselves, what would Srila Prabhupada say? Hare Krishna.